Pop Spotting 139.
Thursday, September 29th, 2011. Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan, and it's time once again for Pop Talk and Trivia. It's the one day a week where we ask you to share your favorite things, and then we ask you obscure trivia questions.
Joining us today is Paul from the other side of the Pacific in Hong Kong. He's originally from Palm Beach County in Florida, and he traveled far for a personal reboot of sorts, just like me. He moved to Asia in the year 2000, and he's now a college lecturer in the field of media studies and Asian studies.
Paul is also a podcaster co-hosting East Screen, West Screen with Kevin Ma and other guests to cover news, rumors, and reviews for cinema from Hong Kong, China, Asia, and the West.
You can find him at FoxLore on Twitter or at Kongcast.com. But right now, you can find him right here. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So how are things in Hong Kong?
Well, you know, it's we're on the tail end of summer, so it's very, very hot. School has started again. The semesters have started, so I'm busily working, meeting new students, and just a lot of stuff on the table, but I'm very happy to be here and have a chance to talk with both of you guys.
Well, here on Pop Talk and Trivia, we invite people smarter than us, and you certainly qualify, to school us on three things that we should know more about, and then we're going to try to confuse you with a little bit of random trivia. So are you ready?
Okay, yeah.
So, Paul, what is your first recommendation?
Well, I thought I would try and keep things a little bit in the domain that I podcast in.
Sure.
So my first thing that I'd recommend, or I'd say is one of my favorite things, is actually coming up this week. And that is a Hong Kong and China film that was released earlier this year called Wu Sha. And this film is coming from a director, a famous director here in Hong Kong called Peter Chan, Chan Ho Sun. And it stars Donnie Yen, who I think a lot of listeners in the West will recognize that name. He's gotten quite famous here as one of the top action stars in Hong Kong in recent years. And Wu Sha is his latest film, and it's being released on both DVD and Blu-ray. Unfortunately, the DVD, that's going to be a Region 3, so people in the States may have difficulty playing that. But the Blu-ray is a Region A, which includes the United States. So if you have a Blu-ray player, you'd have no problem playing it. And basically, it's a sort of a typical, what you would think is a typical martial arts film. If you've seen Donnie Yen martial arts film, it's films before. It's a period piece, so it's taking place in a period in ancient China. But what's different is this murder happens, and another famous actor, Takeshi Kaneshiro, he's sent in as sort of this investigator. And so it takes sort of this form of like CSI almost, where he's going in and he's sort of investigating the murder, and it's really borrowing a lot of sort of visual techniques that you might see in a CSI episode, but it's in ancient China. And then sort of in the latter half, it unfolds the mystery of, you know, how this event took place, and there are other characters and players involved. And it becomes sort of a more of a straight up martial arts action film towards the latter half. But it was an interesting mix, an interesting blend. And I think it's probably one of the better films that's come out this year.
Tell us some other films that Donnie Yen has been in, maybe.
Most recently, I think that's probably gotten more play in the United States is he's done sort of narrativizations of or fictionalizations, if you will, of the Ip Man character. Who Ip Man was a real person who was the teacher of one of the teachers of Bruce Lee, and he sort of recast his life. It's very fictionalized. There's a lot that's not really based on historic fact of the character, but there's been an Ip Man 1 and more recently an Ip Man 2, which was a 2010 film. Both of those are available in various forms on DVD and Blu-ray as well.
Well, tell us a little bit about the Wu Sha setting. You said it was set in the 1917 or around way back then.
If I can't remember, I think it's in the Qing Dynasty. So it's the earlier period before the nationalists took over. So I want to say it's around 1900s, maybe 1890s period. So it's in a slightly older period, and it's kind of weird because at some points you'll see them, Takeshi Kaneshiro is doing this analysis and they're doing these sort of fancy special effects. And you're thinking, wow, was medical knowledge really that advanced back then? So you might have to do a little bit of suspension of disbelief, but it's a pretty fun ride. And one of my favorite actresses, Cara Hoy, who was a very popular actress in the 1970s with some of the Shaw Kung Fu films, she makes a cameo appearance here and has a fantastic fight scene with Donnie Yen.
So if you're a fan of martial arts and kung fu films, this is certainly something you should check out then.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
So, Paul, what is your second recommendation?
My second recommendation, sort of also keeping in the Asian domain, is an Indian Bollywood film. And this has been getting a lot of recent play here in Hong Kong, but it's an older film from 2009. And it is available through both Amazon and iTunes for purchase or for rent. I'm not sure if it got theatrical play in the United States at all, though. It's called Three Idiots. And this tells the story of basically three characters and their lives together, three students and their lives together at an engineering school. And I'm not very big on, or I'm not very knowledgeable on Bollywood cinema. I've only just started sort of getting into it. But I have to say, this film is a fantastic film. It's a great sort of entry point. Typically, Bollywood films are very long. They're usually running over 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And when they run them in India, they usually have an intermission, sort of like the old days in the U.S. when they'd have an intermission. You could go out, go to the bathroom, buy some popcorn, and then go back in after 15 minutes. Because of the way modern cinemas run today, for example, when I saw this film in the cinemas, the intermission title comes up, and it's up for like 10 seconds, and then the movie just keeps going. So you do have to sort of experience it in the full 3 hours. If you're watching it on rental, though, obviously right. You can stop it at any time. But it's really great. The musical numbers are fun. They're catchy. And there are not too many of them. So if you're not a fan of musicals, you don't have to, you know, you won't have one after the other after the other. But it's just a really, really good story. It covers a lot of aspects. If you're somebody who's been through college life, especially if you've been through college life in a sort of a technical aspect where you've, you know, in engineering or one of the other sciences, I think you'll really identify with some of the things going on here. The three characters that it focuses on and their friendship and the things that they go through as they're growing is also very, very interesting. And I think the film has a very strong message, you know, about learning and following your dream as opposed to, you know, being pressured into a field that maybe you don't want to go.
Well, you know, I wish I knew more about it. I mean, I think for most people, the furthest they got to Bollywood is like Slumdog Millionaire. But Three Idiots was apparently the highest grossing Bollywood film ever. And I have not heard anything about it. But you're saying that it's not even what we would stereotypically describe as a Bollywood film. I'm really curious about sort of the college aspect.
Yeah, I mean, there is, you know, there are some scenes where the guys get up and start singing and dancing, but it's all done within this, you know, in the discourse sort of going to school. There is the obvious romantic relationship, and but basically it's the tensions between these three friends and sort of the dean of the school, who, you know, because of one of their friends' different way of thinking and sort of thinking outside of the box. The dean, the director, sees that as a challenge, and so the two of them are always at odds. But yeah, I'd say it's really fun, and it's a good place to sort of get into it because the story is kind of a universal story, and it's not too heavy. It stays kind of light throughout, although there are some serious moments and some very dramatic and what you might consider tear-jerking moments. But for the most part, it's a comedy, and it remains that way throughout.
And what is your third recommendation?
Well, my third recommendation, I need to jump back to the U.S. and put on my sci-fi geek hat for just a bit. I'm going to recommend a TV series that's been getting some mixed reviews over the summer. It's a summer, a summer fill-in show. It's going to be, I'm expecting there's only going to be 11 or so episodes. So it's one of these new shorter season shows, and that's called Alphas. And this is a new show that's been started on the Sci-Fi Network, the much often hated and despised Sci-Fi Network,
right? And recently renamed
programming choices. Yeah, but I have to say, I really have fallen in love with this show. I didn't really like it after watching the pilot. I thought it was going to have problems, but over the course of the season, I think it's gotten stronger. I've really liked the characters that they've built up, and I have to say, it's one of my favorite series running right now. One of the interesting things that they did is they very cleverly tied it in so that it's in actually the same universe as two other sci-fi shows, that is Eureka and Warehouse 13.
Oh.
And so because of that, the nature of the show and what alphas are really reflects, especially on some of the Warehouse 13 characters, in a very interesting way. Even though the tones of the three shows are quite different, this is pretty much a very serious show with some action elements. And if you've seen Warehouse 13 and Eureka, you know that that's much more tongue-in-cheek.
So what's the basic premise?
Well, it's basically there are people out there that are labeled as alphas. These are people who are, they'd be equivalent of mutants, I guess, in the Marvel universe. There are people displaying abilities. And the government is trying to figure out what to do. They're locking a lot of these people away. And there happens to be this team that has been banded together by a doctor. I guess you'd say he's sort of the Professor X character. But he doesn't seem to be an alpha himself. He's just sort of a scientist, a researcher, an expert on alphas. And he's trying to use this team to serve as sort of a response team whenever there's a problem that's involving another alpha. But unfortunately, he's finding himself sort of caught between a rock and a hard place with regard to what's the right thing to do. Should he hand these people over to the government when he captures them? Is he supposed to help them? There's a rogue element that's involved, sort of a terrorist group, as they're labeled, that's sort of the opposition right now. But their message seems to be in line with a lot of the things that the main character, who's named Dr. Lee, or Dr. Lee Rosen, he's not really sure on, he's starting to question which side should he be on. So I really have gotten to like the characters here. And I kept saying to some of my friends about the series, I said, this is what I envisioned season two of Heroes becoming.
I was about to ask.
I think I tweeted once, I said, I think this is the show that Heroes wanted to be when it grew up. Because it seems to take a lot more seriously the nature of abilities and what you would do with them and how the government would respond to them. But at the same time, there seems to still be some human elements.
Well, this sounds interesting. I mean, there have been many attempts at very similar ideas, like you said, Marvel Universe or Heroes, but I thought none had really struck a tone that were quite right for a television series. But you're saying this show, Alphas, is getting pretty close.
I think so. Again, like I said, when I first started out, the first couple episodes, it really didn't catch me. But over time, as I started to see the way the characters gained in personality and interacted with each other, it grew on me, and I have a couple of characters that are sort of my favorites now, and I'm very interested to see where they go and how they develop. They've had some great cameos on in recent weeks. Summer Glau from Firefly,
of course,
was on an episode a couple weeks ago, and so fans were all abuzz because of that. But actually, it was a very, very good episode. Her coming on as an alpha and the ability she had was kind of interesting.
Oh, I'll have to check that out. I mean, that sounds like a very interesting recommendation.
Paul's recommendations are Wuxia, a martial arts film from Peter Chan, Three Idiots, an Indian Bollywood film from 2009, available on Amazon and iTunes, and the show Alphas on Sci-Fi.
Sounds great. All right, Paul, are you ready for some trivia?
I'm scared, but I'm as ready as I'm ever going to be.
All right. Well, here on Pop Talk and Trivia, we let you pick your categories, 2 out of 3 that we present to you, and then you just have to answer 2 out of 3 questions. Jen, what are Paul's categories?
His categories are rock star real names, movie mashups, or I'm a chef and I play one on TV.
So a music category, a movie category, and I think we're going to say this works like the before and after category on Jeopardy, if you even watch Jeopardy, and I guess a TV chef category. What sounds good?
Well, I'm going to have to go with the movie category.
All right.
I think that's the only domain that I have a little bit of knowledge about. Let me start with that one.
And for your second category?
Second category, wow. It's TV chefs or rock stars,
both
of which I know nothing about. So let me go with rock stars on the off chance that I might get lucky.
Well, we'll start there then, Jen.
We'll give you the real name. You give us the rock star. Number one, William Bailey.
William Bailey. Wow. I know there's a song called Won't You Come Home, Bill Bailey, but the rock star. Keith Richards?
No. Axl Rose, the lead singer of Guns N' Roses.
Axl. All right. That's okay. Two more to go.
Number two, Anna Mae Bullock.
Anna Mae Bullock. Well, I'm really from a different generation. I'm thinking of people like Mae West. Or Sandra Bullock.
No.
Oh, Anna Mae Bullock. Courtney Love?
No, Tina Turner.
Tina Turner, the queen of rock and roll. That's okay. One more.
Number three, Michael Balzary.
Michael Balzary. Well, if I had a name like that, I'd sure want to change it.
That's what I'm thinking.
Wow, Michael. Gosh, and so this is all rock considered, yep, would be considered, mm-hmm, rock music.
Absolutely.
Gosh, can I think of any other rock musicians? I know it's wrong, completely wrong, but I'll pick, I guess, my favorite, Robert Plant.
No, it's Flea, the bass player and co-founder of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Wow. Well, that was fascinating, but that's all right. That's all right. We're going to move now to your special fear of expertise in our movie mashups category. Jen, how does it work?
Two movies got married and had a baby. For example, an autistic musician battles his brother over a girl writing a love song that tops the charts. The answer would be Purple Rain Man.
So you think you got it?
I'll give it a shot.
All right. Our descriptions are short, so just let your imagination run wild. Number one.
A documentary about a group of misfit army cadets in a mediocre metal band.
Documentary, misfit army cadets. I'm thinking this doesn't make sense as a mashup. Spinal Tap Striper?
Close.
This is Spinal Taps.
Okay.
Taps.
Yeah.
Taps.
I was thinking Stripes.
Tricky. No, very good, though. Yeah. See, you got the idea. I love it. That's okay. Two more to go.
Okay, number two. Brad Pitt reaps souls in Tibet while looking ravishing in a nun's habit.
Ravishing in a nun's habit. Well, I'm thinking something to do with Meet Joe Black.
And yep.
Seven Years in Tibet.
That second film, not quite there. You can cast about a little bit if you'd like. Meet Joe Black is very close. That means
a Nun's Habit.
Meet Joe Black is
Meet
the
Joe,
first film.
No, Nun's Habit. That's Tom Hanks, not. I'm not sure. I'll say Meet Joe versus the Volcano.
Wow,
no, it's no. Meet Joe Black Narcissus.
Okay, I'm terrible at these.
Oh no.
And number three, Angelina Jolie plays a girl who ends up in a mental hospital after her boss steals her idea while she worked as an office temp.
Oh, I have no idea. I'm going to say...
There's a good... well,
office temp.
Yeah, office temp steals the idea, boss steals the idea, but she gets the upper hand and turns the tables and takes over the company.
Working Girl Raider? I don't...
Wow, you got half of it.
Working Girl Interrupted.
Oh, don't.
Working Girl and Girl Interrupted. Oh, my. Well, Paul, well, first we want to thank you for being our guinea pig for our first try at this category. But
not
I'm sorry to say, I don't think you did quite so well on Pop Talk
Trivia.
Not so
well. I'm terrible at trivia, but I'm still a winner because I get to be on the show. So
you are absolutely a winner, and we are a winner to have you on. I mean, it's great to have someone on from the other side of the even bigger pond. You know, we like to go international, and I think the scope of your podcast is fantastic. Fantastic. Before we let you go, can you let everyone know a little bit more about East Screen, West Screen?
Well, sure. East Screen, West Screen is a podcast that I do with my co-host, Kevin Ma. Basically, we cover films, whatever's playing in cinemas at the current time in Hong Kong. We talk about Hong Kong films, Chinese films, Hollywood films. We try to keep the focus on as much Hong Kong cinema as possible to try and promote that to sort of an international audience, but we both love film so much that, of course, we do want to talk about things like Harry Potter and Captain America, or more recently, films like Midnight in Paris, which, you know, Woody Allen opened earlier in the States, but only recently opened here this past week. So we like to just, we're cinema buffs and we want to promote Hong Kong cinema, but we also want to talk about other cinema as well. And that's sort of the basis of the show.
I love it. I mean, it's certainly, Asian cinema is something we all should know more about, but I do like hearing your take on what happens when American blockbusters fly over there and sometimes get a completely different reception that they get here. We can find that at KongCast.com. And are you on Twitter?
Yes, I'm on Twitter. You can follow me at twitter.com/foxlore, or you can look me up under my name, Paul Fox, on Google+.
Ooh, Google+. I like that.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Paul.
Keep up the great work with East Screen, West Screen. Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha, Paul. Now, whether or not you want to be a Thursday guest, we hope you will drop us a line. We always want to hear from you guys.
Yes, you can leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net. You can drop us a line at feedback@popspotting.net, or you can leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808.
Or you can post your thoughts on our Facebook page at facebook.com/popspotting.
You can also connect with us on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting, or my username is Hawaii.
And I'm Mrs. Hawaii. We'll be back tomorrow with a serving of Pop Spotting feedback.
Thanks to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song, and a big thank you for listening to our show.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Jen.
And I am Ryan.
Aloha.
Aloha.